Hey everybody, it's Jeremy and Stephanie from RVFTA.com coming at you with another great mini episode of the RVFTA podcast. We will be back with full-length episodes really soon at the beginning of February, but for now we've got these shorties but goodies, which we really love doing. Before we dive into this episode, which is all about the seasons in our lives, the seasons of RVing and camping, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts.
We sure do. And that message is that if you camp with kids, then a Yogi Bear Jellystone Park camping experience should definitely be on your wish list for this coming up camping season.
I want to go so bad it hurts.
We're ironing out right now. It's January and some people might be like, oh, the camping season, months away. But we are currently ironing out our reservations for the entire year.
Camping reservation season is now.
Is right now. And we have to get those reservations in before they all sell out. So you'll want to do that too.
And we might do an RV yogi trip and we might do a cabin yogi trip. It might work a little bit better for us in the fall.
And the great thing about Jellystones is that they are good for RV or cabin camping or tent camping, but they're even better because you can do all three of them with various friends, someone who has an RV, somebody who needs to have a cabin, and you can all go together. And this is the kind of campground. This isn't like any other kind of camping experience. It's not just a campground with yogi pictures around, right? This is a different kind of camping experience altogether. And it's one that's perfect for having fun with family and friends. We love going to yogis with friends.
And I think we really love just some of the good old-fashioned organized activities that like harken back to the summer camps of our youth. Not that you or I went to those summer camps.
No, but we heard of them.
A lot we've heard of them. And Yogi excels at those kinds of really fun organized activities for the kids.
Yeah, if any of you have ever thought, wow, my kids are a lot to take care of during the day and are a lot to entertain during the day, guess what? At Jellystones, someone else does that for a lot of the time, all day long, and it's awesome. Like Nitro doing Gaga Ball.
Yeah, we miss Nitro. He's probably like at Princeton now.
I wish we could hire Nitro to just come camping with us all summer. I
wish Nitro was my son.
So head on over to JellystonePark.com to make a reservation at a Jellystone Park near you. Remember, it's not just a campground, it's a Jellystone Park.
There are places
what's with the singing, buddy?
In my life.
What are you doing?
That Beatles song.
I wasn't expecting that.
That Beatles song really reminds me of this episode.
Okay.
And this episode is about the different seasons of RVing and camping in our lives. Because most of us, if we get into RVing and camping in our 20s or 30s or whenever, it becomes a hobby and a passion and a pursuit for our entire lives, right? I mean, people go right up into retirement and past retirement in their RVs. And there are just different chapters, different stages. And we want to walk through those stages. And Stephanie, you broke this down in a really nice way. So we have four stages we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about like RVing with babies and toddlers, RVing through the elementary years, RVing with preteens and the teen years, and then lastly, the empty nest. And for each of these seasons of RVing, you broke it down as like, let's talk about the tricky parts, the great parts, and the why. Like, the why do you do it at that stage? What do you get out of it? Because each stage has its awesome parts and its challenging parts, and each one is just really worthy of considering and thinking about.
Yeah, and I was inspired to do this podcast because, you know, this topic, because first of all, we really have a goal this year. We talked about it with each other, and then we talked about it a little bit on the winterization, you know, podcast episode. We really want to focus on being in the now and really focusing on how we can take as much out of where we are right now as possible, not always wishing for something different. And I know that sounds a little, you know, woo-woo, but I think it's super important for us.
I don't find it woo-woo-y at all.
We struggle with
it. But we've now passed into our second stage, which I think, you know, we've passed through the babies and toddler stage and passed into the elementary year stage. And it's just RVing for us right now is very different than it was when the kids were babies and toddlers. And you've been wonderful at just getting us to appreciate those differences, not longing for the past or yearning for the future, but embracing the now.
Well, because it's always driven me crazy that people do that. So, I've been at the receiving end of everybody telling me, oh, it's going to be so much harder. It's going to be so much harder. Enjoy it now. The time goes, you know, by so fast. And then you're going to have teenagers and you're not going to be able to RV. And what happened was, you know, as we had the younger kids and people started to tell us, oh, well, once they get into sports, And I thought, okay, look, let's all pump the brakes a little on this. We have control over our lives, right? Like we say what happens in our lives. So that yes, our kids have gone to sports and we have seen how that's had an impact on how much we can camp. But I said to you a couple years ago, I said, I want to be okay with this. If we're going to support their sports, I want to embrace
that.
It was
our idea to put them into sports
anyway.
Right,
and I want to not be disappointed that we're doing that and not camping. So it's balanced.
But we've also found plenty of time for camping. It's been trickier. We've had to be more creative. We're not doing 100 nights of camping this year like we did a few years ago, but that's all okay. And I want to tell a quick story. When we both finished graduate school, we moved into my grandfather's basement for 2 years while we pulled it together. And we would leave for work every morning, and we lived downstairs, and we would walk past him, say goodbye, go off to work. And I remember one morning going off to work. It was maybe like a stressful, frantic morning, and I probably looked like I was rushing out the door. And my grandfather, who was in his 80s at that point, looked at me and said, you know, you probably wish that you were me and you could sit here in this chair and relax all day, but you need to know that I wish I was you.
Oh, I never really
said
that to
you. I wish I was you going off to work. And I just looked at him like, yeah, I totally want to be you right now, sitting in the chair, relaxing, not rushing off to a crazy day at work. But it just, my grandfather always said, don't wish away the days of your life. Mm-hmm. You know, embrace each day of your life, no matter what phase you're in.
Yeah. And I want to do that as a parent. I mean, babies were hard for me. I know some other people will say, oh, that's the best time. It was hard for me.
And you did such a great job. It was only kind of hard for me.
It was really hard.
No, it was really hard for me.
And I think that a lot of it is temperament, right? So different stages are going to be trickier for you. Different stages are going to be more enjoyable. There's no intrinsically easy stage or not. What we want to do on this episode is just dive in and help us all appreciate the good parts, prepare for the tricky parts, and then know what really gives us our why to power through. So you ready to go?
Yeah, let's talk babies and toddlers. And I think that too many people skip RVing at this point, or like they were tent campers, then you have babies and toddlers and you just stop and then you wait till they're older. Don't wait till they're older. I mean, Stephanie and I for 5 years have been preaching this message. You can go RVing with little babies and toddlers. We had an awesome time.
I'm so grateful we did it.
Oh my God. Some of the best memories of my lives are when the boys were 1, 2, 3 years old and we were camping like crazy. But what are some of the tricky parts?
All right. So of course we've got driving long distances. You may have a magic baby that's great in the car, but most of us do struggle with the long distances. Another thing, just the inordinate amounts of stuff, right? There's just gear. And I know people that say, oh, as they get bigger, their gear gets bigger. No way.
They can move.
When you're traveling with babies, like you just feel like you need everything.
When we had the pop-up camper, I strapped their mini cribs onto the roof racks of our Toyota Highlander. And remember my buddy Joe, I used to show up at the campground and he would just burst out laughing.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is crazy. What are you doing with cribs on the roof rack? We had a pop-up camper. There was no other way to pack the mini cribs.
Yeah, we had to put it there. Just stroller. Like, we're so glad to be out of the stroller stage. There's just all the stuff. We had twins. We needed two high chair things that hooked onto the table. So it's just a lot of stuff. The exhaustion. When people have small babies, they are tired all the time. We never slept. I mean, for years. Maybe you slept some.
The twin, Max and Theo, woke up at 5:00, 5:30 at the campground, you know, and we made that work. You know, I'd pop on a movie for them on a little DVD player. I'd crawl in next to them in bed and pull them out of their cribs or whatever if they were in their cribs at that point. And I would cozy up and try to fall back asleep. And, you know, now I look back at that fondly. At the time, it felt challenging.
Yeah. And then the last thing that can be really tricky is the constant monitoring, right? Your kid, they're in the fire pit. They're in the gravel. They're putting the sand in their mouth. You're like, you cannot leave
them.
We've
had children playing in the fire
pit. It wasn't lit. No.
Now, here's the thing, like with the constant monitoring, I think this is so important to any young parents that are listening. Give your spouse a break. You know, give each other an hour. Say, look, I got
Tag
the kids
team,
for an hour. Go take a walk, you know, go to the camp store, whatever, go for a dive in the pool, whatever. Help each other have some mental space and little breaks in the day. Don't feel like you both constantly have to be watching the kids.
All right. But it's not all tricky because there's great parts to having little babies and toddlers too, right? They go where you take them.
Without complaining.
And they express zero opinions about it whatsoever.
Exactly. You know, and now our kids still always want to go camping, but they have their opinions about everything and it can get complicated. And, you know, look, if we're occasionally camping and they're missing a game, they might grumble about that a little bit. You know, I hate to say it, but that's the truth. The other thing too about this is, like, you know, we never went full time and we have no plans for that in our immediate future. But, you know, when the boys were like 6 months or a year, that would have been a great time to do something like that, mm-hmm. pre-elementary school, yeah. You know, because they're not missing out on anything at that point.
They don't have opinions about who they want to be playing with and what they want to be doing. Yeah. So you also have nap time, right? I mean, just nap time at the campground can be really magical. Do you remember those days? Like, even if you can't get your kids to sleep unless you lay with them. Like, so I would lay down with them sometimes to get them to nap. And it would just, hey, I took a nap.
I remember bringing your sister into the pop-up camper with the air conditioning on in the middle of the day when both the boys were sleeping in their cribs. And she was like, oh my God, it's so peaceful and so quiet in here.
You know, and another thing that was really great was kids go to bed earlier. I mean, babies and toddlers go to bed earlier, right? So we would put them down to bed and we just had these long date night evenings around the campfire. We never got a babysitter. But at the campground, we were like spending time like together in a way we didn't at home.
I miss that the most.
Like, now that they stay home.
Yeah, and you know what? They're fun to hang out around with around the campfire, and it's s'mores and everything. But, you know, we would put them to bed, and by 7:40, you and I were sitting around the campfire. It was still daylight in the summertime, and we mm-hmm. really just had these very long, relaxing stretches of time alone. And now it's not like, you know, they're in bed at 9 or whatever, and mm-hmm. you go to bed kind of early. So, like, that time is gone now.
Now, the last thing that I want to say that's a real big benefit of, you know, RVing or camping with babies and toddlers is that you avoid flying. You can really have great vacations as a family without getting on an airplane. And I have to say, it is hard to fly with babies. It is not so hard to fly with our kids now that they're our age. And we'll talk about that a little while later. But, you know, it's just not easy to get on a plane. And when we could go on these great vacations and we never got on a plane with the babies, I think that that really was a big bonus for me.
Well, you know what? After, you know, driving 14 hours to Great Smoky Mountains National Park when they were little, the idea of getting on a plane for 6 hours to Seattle is like nothing for
nothing.
Them. You know,
oh, no.
They're hardy travelers, as it were.
Well, that goes to our why for this category, right? It is 100% worth the training, the car rides, the cabin camping, the tenting, the RVing. I mean, building in flexibility, our kids could really go to new places and get used to new places, make new friends. Teaching our kids how to have a great time outside in nature. I mean, this training, our kids were in like camping boot camp for 6 years.
I think
years.
That they are more confident in conquering new environments. I think it's one reason our boys can step into any sport. And while they may have some nerves, they always get over them and they're not afraid of new environments because we brought them into so many new environments.
And then, as you mentioned before, when we finally did take them on a plane for the first time in their lives, I think Max and Theo were 7 and Wes was 3, the first time that we went down to Florida with them. The very first time we went on a plane, I could not have asked for better travel companions. They knew how to carry luggage. They went through. They knew how to stay together. They knew how to get to that plane. It was the easiest thing in the world because they were just used to traveling.
It applies to RVing now, too. When we pull into a campground, my 9-year-olds go to it. You know, they're setting up the camp chairs, they're getting everything ready, they're helping me pull out the grill. You know, they and if we had just started RVing, I don't think that would be the case. So it's an investment and it's worth it.
I can honestly say that years, you know, later that I'm so glad we took those long car rides with them when they were little, even though at the time I might have wanted noise canceling headphones.
Or like the time when they both threw up on the way home from Asheville,
you
North Carolina.
Always, I feel like you're obsessed with bringing up throw up stories
when
on
you
our
have,
podcast.
When you have twin boys and they like, both like barf in the backseat of the truck, it's something you never forget.
I'm sure our podcast
All right, let's talk the elementary years. That's where we're at now. Like that's what we're negotiating now. And it's a very different chapter for us in our RVing lives, and it's awesome. I mean, I'm very happy right now, but it is quite different. So what are some of the tricky parts we're dealing with and people with kids in elementary school often deal with when it comes to camping and RVing?
Look, it can still be difficult to travel long distances. The bottom line is I say our boys do really well, but I always also am very honest about the fact that once we hit that like 7-hour limit in the car, I'm usually just in like threatening mode from then to like the 9 or 10 or whatever. Or now on the flip side, maybe I just go into screen time mode and I just put on a movie and say, be quiet. Don't touch each other. Don't look at each other. Don't talk to each other. Nobody say a word. Right.
Right. I mean, but that's like a plus too. It's like we can, with our kids now at this age, we can get 7 hours of driving in without any stress or problem. It's just like the once we hit that past that point, it's like they become like empowered to be obnoxious.
Oh, so obnoxious. Yeah. So, you know, then of course, speaking of obnoxious, right, this age, and it's appropriate for them to do this, but this age is all about negotiating independence, right? What can I do? What can I get away with? How much can I do on my
own?
How late
can I stay up at the campground?
Right. So everything is up for negotiation at this age. And all you parents out there that know elementary school, you know, ages know that this is true. So that can be really tricky when you're away from the grind of daily life, because at home, you establish your norms and you have to stick to them or life is not, you know, fun.
And this is where you and I have lots of tension because I'm just a failure. Ugh. Like on vacation, on an RV trip, like I just want to let them stay up later. I want them to, you know, be able to eat pancakes 3 days in a row. And like, I know that's a weakness in myself. And plus, we travel a lot. So like if you're lucky enough to travel a lot, you do want to keep the routines of home in place and not have it just be a binge and a free for all on bad food and late nights.
Well, we just see the impact. We particularly have kids that we see the impact of that on. So another issue, another thing that can be a little bit tricky about this age is that you still are dealing with like growing and building stamina for outdoor activities, right? For hiking, for biking. So your kids here might know how to ride their bikes, but they might not be up for that like Acadia bike trail kind of a thing. And you can't do all the things you want to do yet.
The carriage trails in Acadia did not go well with the three of us, or the three boys.
Yeah. And then, you know, they still have some age and size restrictions for things. So there's like, you know, might have white water rafting. You might have these things like that that you want to do when you go certain places and you can't quite live your dream yet because your kids aren't tall enough.
And if your kids are spaced apart a little, like ours are too, you know, like we have 9-year-olds that can go on a 10-mile hike and a 5-year-old that can't. And as much as I want to go on that huge hike because Max and Theo are game for it and they'll do it, you know, we got to consider Wes too and find those happy mediums.
Yeah, absolutely. And then of course, like we mentioned before, a tricky thing is that this is the age when sports and activities start to get onto the family calendar. And you have to choose how much weight you're going to allow those things to play in your lives. And I'm not saying that's an easy decision. I'm just saying it's a decision you have to own. And once you make that decision, you have to be okay with it.
I want to recommend something to young parents who might be listening, who are, you know, not full timers, but living at home and maybe thinking about putting your kids into sports. Winter sports.
Yeah.
Right? Like right now, the boys are playing basketball 3 days a week, and who cares? The RV's winterized. We're not, you know, we camp in the winter a little bit, but it doesn't matter. So if you're choosing sports for your kids and trying to shape them and mold them, you know, if you do soccer and baseball like we do, you know, those are going to cut into your RV season. You know, it's going to be challenging.
All right. So the great parts about this age, and there really are a lot of great parts about this age, they are so on board with family activities at this age. They haven't gotten to the point where they're, you know, too cool for that yet. They still love spending time with mom and dad. In fact, they want to spend more time with, like, their biggest problem is
can
that
we
we're
play
not
one more game of Uno?
Yes,
dad,
exactly.
Will you play catch? Mom, will you play this board game or that board game? It's true. I mean, it's almost like they want more of us than we can give without
like,
sort of getting exhausted.
It's like too,
but,
my,
you know,
too much.
I'm going to appreciate, I'm going to love every second of that because I know the time is coming when, like, they don't want to be seen in the same neighborhood with me.
Right. They're also super curious at this age. I mean, I taught third and fourth grade for over 10 years, and this is just an age where kids are sponges and they're just soaking up all of the information around them. Our boys will ask us questions nonstop after we go to a place like Mount Rushmore, just like, bah, 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 right? Or the Badlands, or they love the ranger talks at this age. They are just little sponges and you can fill their heads with so much, I'm going to say like propaganda at this age. Like we can stuff their heads full of the things that we find valuable in life and they're really taking it
in. I just drove Max to the orthopedic doctor this morning and he talked to me for half an hour about the Revolutionary War. And I'm telling you, I learned a lot. Like, I learned about how they secured their wigs to their heads. I learned how much Revolutionary War soldiers are paid every week. Yeah, that's a great point. And like, our kids will do the 2-hour Alamo tour and love every second of it. You know, they're in a great age for that kind of learning that is so good while you're traveling.
And the good news is that they can be more independent and they can play without constant monitoring. This is the age where you start to be able to sit down in your camp chair while your kid rides his bike around the campground loop, okay? It's a great age where you start to sort of get glimpses of, you know, that bit of freedom that you have. You don't have to tell them every 3 seconds, don't go here, don't go there. You know, they're not falling constantly. You know, it just becomes a little better.
If you're camping with other friends that have kids the same age, they can occupy themselves for like 4 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, like we keep them within earshot or eyeshot, but they will just play and play and play. And our kids behave better around other kids.
Absolutely. It takes the tension off of them getting along with each other, which a lot of parents out there know and appreciate. Okay, so the why. Why do we keep doing it even though it's harder to, you know, to do our schedules and everything? Well, because they're just learning. Like, this is the age where right before they pull apart from you a little bit in their preteen and teen years, which is normal, this is the time where you can really lay a foundation for just that curiosity, that exploring, that adventure. They might go away from it a little bit in the future. They may develop some of their own passions, but you can really lay a strong foundation for those values. You know, just even, you know, natural values, family values. You can really do that at this time of their life.
I feel like a camping trip is an incredible opportunity to teach your children how they are expected to behave, how they are expected to socialize, how they are expected to clean up.
Work,
like you
chores.
You cannot look at a camping trip as a time where you just check out from all of those things as a parent. It's very important to apply them during those fun trips as well.
All right, so let's go into the preteen and teen years. So,
do we have to?
We do. It's natural and we have to. And we've been, you know, lucky enough that we've built lots of great friendships over the years. And many of the people that we actually camp with on a regular basis do have teens and preteens. And so they've been very open with sharing with us some of the struggles that they faced. But then also we see them still doing it. Again, making time, maybe not as much time, but making time for it to be important. So it's tricky because, well, many of them become reluctant travelers at that point.
And I remember being a teenager, and I used to go to my grandfather's every summer, and I would live with him during the summer because he had a house on the beach. And I remember this summer where I called my grandfather and said, I'm going to stay home this summer because I want to hang out with my friends. And I think he was like heartbroken by that, but it was natural. So my big solution to that is just that, like, maybe you bring some other friends on a trip or let them bring their best friend on a trip, and then they might really want to go do that 2-week trip to Glacier National Park or something like that. So I hope you're down with that because I want to know.
I will say. So I also, you know that parents struggle with the expression of constant boredom, right? You know, preteens and teens can be so unimpressed by everything that we're doing in life, right? They're unimpressed by their parents, they're unimpressed by travel, by the activities, and they sit there and it's just natural for this age group to be rolling their eyes and sighing and, oh my gosh.
But you can combat that by letting them choose the destination, letting them choose some of the activities, maybe ramping up the level of adventure. So you might need to be doing some whitewater rafting if you've got 15-year-olds, right? I mean, they might not be satisfied anymore with going down a water slide at the campground.
Yeah, and they also just have busy lives, right? Activities go up. Some of them get jobs, which it's important. You don't want to undermine the importance of a job at this age. And they have higher academic restrictions. We know that we've had to pull back when the boys were in kindergarten and first grade, we were pulling them out for an entire week in the fall because Jeremy was able to travel for a week in the fall. And we'd pull them out and we went to Lake Placid one year.
Foliage at Lake Placid.
Right. I mean, and we did that when they were that age. And then now they've hit a point where we now do not pull them out for Jeremy's fall break because they're getting into their routine at school. It's more important academically and we respect that. So. And,
well, we compromise. We usually pull them out for a long weekend. Friday. We'll leave Thursday night and do like a long weekend. Like we did at Assateague Island this fall. And look, that wasn't a week-long trip, but our long weekend at Assateague was epic. It was beautiful. It was amazing. So I didn't feel like I was missing taking the week off in the fall.
Yeah. So, and as you mentioned, the great parts about this age is that you can get them involved in planning and you can do RV trips that are centered around their interests, right? Themes. Do you want to visit baseball parks? Do you want to visit architectural like marvels, you know, in the country? How about urban centers? Like maybe your kids are really into cities and art scenes in cities.
I know like Carrie Cox's sons, or at least one of her sons really loves to visit
urban destination. Yeah.
And so they plan around that and they do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can really do a lot more of that. You can also use RVs to support more of their activities like sports. So if your kids are in travel sports, we know a lot of people that go and stay where they're competing in their
RVs.
That
is really my plan. And I really hope we can pull off a motorhome one day for that because they had a basketball tournament recently where there was like 3 hours in between games. And I was like, we were sitting in the truck.
Yeah.
There was plenty of parking there. Like, yeah. I could have been sitting in a motorhome. You know, we could have been watching a football game on TV or something.
Yeah. And, you know, and another great thing about this age is that they're so independent. And we were talking to actually the woman that we rented the RV from in Minneapolis this summer. They were going down with their teenage kids to the Smokies, and they had chosen to stay at the Pigeon Forge KOA, I think, because they knew that the trolley stopped there and all of their teenagers would be able to get on the trolley, go into town, do their own thing, and they were looking forward to that.
Mom and dad are hanging at the campground.
Mom and dad can do their own thing too. How awesome is that? And they can have friends along with them and not meet and maybe handle that instead of it being a burden on the parents.
You know, in terms of the why, there's still really compelling emotional reasons to go camping with your teenagers. Like, I'm not going to want to let go of them yet. And though the time might be more limited or more complicated, it is that sacred last time you're going to have with your kids before they take off into the adult world. And I also want to say something that my boss told me once, my principal where I teach. I don't know how we started talking about teenagers, but we started talking about being a father to teenagers. And he said at a certain point, his son, when he was 14 or 15, did not want to do anything with him. And he said he let him go. He let that happen. He didn't push. He didn't demand to have time with him. And he said 3 or 4 years later, when his son was like 19, everything was back to normal again. And he wanted to spend tons of time hanging out with mom and dad and going on vacations with them again. And I think that makes a ton of sense. I think there's something about that.
I think it's biological, that four-year window
where you want away from your parents. And if you don't strangle your kids during that time period or demand too much of them or force them to spend time with you, I think that they will circle back and want to spend a lot of time with you when they hit their early 20s.
Yeah. And then at that point, you're an empty nester. So let's move on to that last stage. And, you know, the tricky part is, I think, for people that are in this situation, we've been lucky enough to actually have a lot of listeners, and we feel particularly blessed to have our empty nest listeners because they write us these wonderful emails, they message us, and they're so encouraging and supportive and appreciative of the stage that we're at now. They've been there, and now they're in another place. So we get to actually hear a lot from our empty nest listeners, and we just want you to know that it is incredibly encouraging to us.
We got a message on social media this morning from somebody who's an empty nester and said, I love your show. I love your podcast. And I get a lot of tips for the time I spend with my grandparents. And
grandkids,
like,
yeah.
Grandkids. And I'm really, like, I don't think any of us look forward to getting older necessarily. I've never met somebody who's like, I really want to be 20 years older. But I do look forward to that period knowing that we'll be RVers. It's exciting to be RVers as empty nesters. And I hope and pray we have grandkids around to take on trips to Jellystone Park or wherever it might be.
Right. So the flip side of being an RVer, right? So you're an empty nester. The tricky thing about empty nesting is, of course, always recalibrating your life after decades of raising tiny human beings. So for decades, you've been in the mix, totally focused on your responsibilities as parents, and suddenly you do not have that responsibility
anymore.
I think
anymore. You and I are just going to embrace that. Like, whatever RV we have, we'll sell and get it the small, you know, you've always wanted like a Class B or a much smaller Class C. I think we'll go out and get that awesome two-person RV and we're going to travel like crazy.
So you get to downsize your rig. That's one of the big, great parts about empty nesters. You also have more time. I think this is important for individual pursuits, right? Like, so if we go to a location right now, I feel like if we were constantly trading off and I was like, well, I want to go do this. So you have the kids. And then you were like, well, I want to go do this. So you have the kids. You don't feel like you get a break, right? Because you're never sharing parental responsibilities. When you're just RVing, like I think about Dean and Laura, and it's like Dean says, oh, well, Laura likes to go shopping in the downtown. So I sat there and I had a craft beer. Like she can go and do her thing and he can do his thing. And nobody feels like the other's getting stuck on daycare duty.
I would love to have more time for photography on a trip.
You know, and I would love to not be there when you're doing that because that drives me crazy.
Or to be in the pictures.
Right. Like, so that is something that's it. You just nailed it right there. It's awesome. It would be awesome for you to be like, I'm going to do my photography. And I would be like, that's great. I'm going to lie in this hammock and read a book. And we would both be so happy. But right now, you doing your pursuit means me taking the care of the kids and vice versa. That's just the stage of life we're at right now. So it'll be nice for both of us to be able to kind of pursue those individual things, I think.
Yeah, and then you take the grandkids out, but then you get to bring them back home.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
That's, you know, you get both. It's like in some ways, like the emptiness stage could give you the best of both worlds if you're willing to travel with your grandkids and take them on trips.
Well, and that's the why right there, right? I mean, the bottom line is that our modern culture doesn't stop happening just because you're an empty nester. And if you're an RVer, if you're a camper, you are going to still get that antidote to so many parts of modern culture right now, right? The busyness, the nonstop, the screen time. It, you know, we all do take it down a notch, really, at the campground.
Do you know what I always long for when we're traveling with the kids? I long for, like, 2 quiet hours in the morning to drink coffee and read a book. Because that doesn't happen, right? But when we're empty nesters, I can just picture like waking up in some beautiful location, putting on the coffee, we each grab our novel or whatever we're reading and just take in the view. I mean, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think that that's just kind of us trying to kind of take something that we've been working on and looking at what is the now and what are the great beneficial parts of the now and how can we maximize them, and also kind of preparing for the future a little bit. I think that we were prepared for when our kids started sports. We knew it was going to be an issue and we were prepared to deal with it. We weren't like, oh, we have to stop camping or our kids can't play sports. You know, we weren't willing to make either of those decisions.
Well,
I've
said this before in the podcast, but we have a place 20 minutes from where we live that we love to camp, and that has kept us in the game. Like, we just camp there a lot, and then you or I can bring the boys to their baseball game Saturday morning and come back to the campground, be back to the campground by 12 o'clock for lunch, you know. So if you're in that busy elementary school year stage, you know, find that close to home campground. Hopefully you have one.
Yeah, so wherever you are on your camping journey, we just really want to encourage you to embrace that and to make the most of it, right, and not wish away our Saturdays with our kids, and to not wish away the years with our kids, or even to wish away the time that we have with our spouses, even though right now it feels incredibly stressful.
If your kids are at that busy place with sports and school, that's good. That's a good thing for your children that they're deeply involved in those things. And don't you sit around feeling miserable about it because you can't do as much camping as you want to do. Get in the camping you can do, embrace the rest of it.
Yeah, and make a reservation at your local Jellystone Park and have a great family vacation there. Thanks. A big thank you to Jellystone for sponsoring this episode of RVFTA.
Brand new Jellystone coming in North Carolina.
And you're going to hear about it here.
Hopefully you'll hear about it this year from us.
Absolutely. So go to jellystonepark.com to make a reservation at a Jellystone Park near you.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.